I am sitting here with, I guess, probably one of the biggest and most famous baseball players, certainly of our generation, Mr. Tom Glavine here, Hall of Famer. We're in St. Andrews, and welcome to the Savvy Investor on a remote session here. How'd you play today?
Well, first of all, happy to be here. Thanks for having me. Played great. Shot a career low round here at St. Andrews, so it was a blast. I mean, if you're going to have one of your best days, why not do it at a place like this?
So absolutely,
couldn't,
right?
Couldn't ask for anything more in that regard.
Now, so how many rounds have you played in this week?
So we played, the practice round and then the...
So you played the castle course?
Played the castle course.
Was it completely fogged in for you as well?
It was... No, we had our first seven holes were absolutely beautiful. And then my son and I took a picture on the seventh tee box with St. Andrews behind it. And by the time we went from the back of the tee to our tee, we turned around and couldn't see St. Andrews anymore. So
right,
the fog had rolled in, and it was a completely different experience, which is Scotland golf, you know, so it was kind of cool. But yeah, it's been an unbelievable week.
It's like King's Barn.
You know, I loved it. It was, I guess, for lack of a better term, I guess it's probably somewhat Americanized.
I give you that. Yeah,
you know,
yeah, I guess
it was.
Saying,
it had a lot of Pebble Beach qualities to it.
Right.
Just really picturesque, great layout, some great holes, and look forward to getting back out there for our second round out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. So now that you're retired, looking back at your career, words of wisdom that you got so that you made smart financial decisions? Did you get some words there to help you out when you got started?
You know, I was fortunate that my agent was pretty conservative, and, you know, he kind of always preached the rainy day theory. And it really wasn't until I was 3 years in the big leagues and was starting to make a little bit of money that I even thought about buying a house or doing any of those things. So it was great. Between him and my financial people, you know, we used to joke all the time and still do with my wife that, you know, anytime there's like a big ticket purchase, it's like, no, you're calling them and telling them we want to spend our money. Right,
right, right, right. Right.
So, you know, I think they've certainly helped. I think that was my upbringing too. You know, I come from a very middle class family, and you know, my dad worked really hard, and so I had the value of a dollar early on in life. So, you know, it's not to say I haven't splurged on some stupid things in my time, but I think for the most part, I've always tried to maintain that rainy day mentality, and
it served you well.
It has served me well.
So with these kids coming out of college and high school now getting these contracts, I mean, you guys didn't even come close to what they make in a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just insane. Where's the wisdom? Because I see so many of them broke 3, 5, 7 years into their career.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is there's two things. Number one, you know, when you start making a little bit of money, you can't assume you're going to be making that money for a long period of time, especially in baseball, because the average career is just not very long.
So and they do think they're going to play forever, don't they?
They do. I think you get that mentality that you're going to, you know, I'm making $8 million a year. This is going to last forever. Most of the times it does not.
Right.
And then I think the other thing is they forget how long the rest of their lives really are.
Because it's a lot longer than they think it is.
Yes, it is. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure there are some people that could get an $8 million signing bonus or make, you know, $8 million in a year and be set for the rest of their lives. But I'm going to say most guys that are playing in the big leagues probably would not be able to make that last the rest of their lives. So, you know, again, I think that was always something that helped me was to, you know, realize that even for me to play 22 years in the big leagues, I never figured I was going to do that. It ended up happening, but I was always, I guess, financially savvy to the point of I always assumed it was not going to last much longer. And whatever I made beyond where I was going to be gravy, but I was always going to be prepared that if any given year was the last year, I was going to be okay.
So thinking about, you know, the batters you faced, what batter was it that you dreaded coming up against it?
Like, it's an interesting question because, like, a lot of people will phrase that with, who did you fear? And obviously, you don't fear anybody, right?
Right. Otherwise, you don't survive as a pitcher.
Right. You have a lot of respect. Now, there are a couple of guys that, you know, I guess the one guy that jumps to mind probably more than anybody in my era was Gary Sheffield. Like, he was one guy that I just pray to God, don't hit a line drive back at me, please. Because he just swung so hard. When he did hit the ball, he hit it hard. And it's just, you know, like you want to have time to be able to react. And I was always afraid of him hitting a ball back at me. Not afraid of facing him, like, oh, I can't get you out. But the injury factor. But, you know, in terms of a hitter, you know, like people always ask who that guy is. And I guess my answer has been mostly, if I had a one-run lead and there's a runner on second base with two outs, who would I not want to face? And it would probably be Tony Gwynn.
That's interesting. You know, Greg Maddux told me the same thing.
Yeah, just because he you know, most hitters, they have a tendency at points in time to get themselves out. They get anxious, particularly with guys in scoring position. They want to drive them in. Tony Gwynn was one of those guys that never got himself out. He was going to make you work to get him out.
Right.
And, you know, he was just the best in our generation at, as a pitcher, you throw what you think is a nasty pitch to get him out. Somehow he found a way to foul it off, and he's going to make you throw another one. Inevitably, you're going to make a mistake, and he's going to get you.
Right. All right, so last question as we wrap up here today. Thinking about those days when, you know, you're growing up with mom and dad and grandma coming, what was that Sunday dinner like? What was that meal that you missed the most that you had growing
up? Ooh, man. Probably two, I think. My mom was a good cook. She made a phenomenal veal cutlet. I missed that one a little bit. And then the simple one. A lot of times that Sunday dinner was just a roast beef with roasted potatoes and carrots out of the oven, a little bit of gravy, and it was a good day. And I'll tell you what, as a kid, you go out all day Sunday and a cold winter day and play street hockey all day, and you come home and that meal's waiting for you when you come in the house. It's like, yeah, this is a pretty good day.
Listen, very much appreciate your time today. Thank you very much, Tom, for joining us on The Savvy Investor.
My pleasure.